Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 397, Finding Truth. This was a pretty unique experience for me. I would say for the most part, been satisfied with all of my episodes. When I get done recording them, I'm like, okay, cool. I mean, if it really sucked, I'm sure I would, well, I should do that over. And I've never had to do one over based on that reason. But I was finding my way through this episode. And at the end, it kind of seemed to come full circle. And I think the last, maybe the third last thing I said was finding truth. I'm like, well, there's the title. And when I pressed stop recording, I was like, I really like that. I had that feeling that I really liked that episode. So I don't know. I don't know if it's going to translate. I don't know if you're going to feel that way. But I had like a really dope, cool feeling when it finished. I was really excited about watching this movie, Eat, Pray, Love, for the second time. And I started watching it going, I'm pretty sure. And I'm like, I am positive. I've seen this before, but I could not remember it. And what happened and my experience was just awesome. I just loved it. Like, I was completely aware it was a newer, better version of me watching this movie. Therefore, I was seeing things differently. And a character resonated with me. And it was just such a cool moment. But there's two quotes that kind of hung with me. And one was worded a little weird where I didn't even post it. But what it meant really resonated with me. And it was that kind of like the last episode, attracting. Or not maybe the last episode, but the law of attraction, you know, where you're vibrating and you're attracting things. It's kind of like, I'm not even really trying and things are getting better. And something got better that I never, ever would have wanted, expected, prayed for to get better. I was just like, okay, I'm 55. This is going to be this way. And it was just, I don't know, like, I just kept thinking about this character, and I even forgot the dude's name. But what was so inspiring, right away, if it was a real story, like when I viewed my sister Tammy, I always said, not as strong as her. I just knew out the gate when she started dealing with what she had to go through, overcome, live through, deal with. I was like, I'm just not that strong. And the same thing happened in that movie. But what he shares, it's just like you go, wow, that dude is fighting. And see, that's what's inspirational. And it was like going to, AA meetings, you'd see someone just struggling. But you're like, yeah, but they showed up here to do that. They showed here to vent. They came here. Because they knew they needed this moment versus just letting themselves run wild out there. And it was just, like I said, the place where I am right now, I completely love this movie. And I'm like, that dude is just like me. Like me. He's very, very, very far from being perfect. He's heavily flawed. He's made some huge mistakes, but he has clarity. And sometimes you just get that clarity with others. And you just need to help. Because there's no reason that this character had to help Julia Roberts' character. She didn't ask. He could just see it. And he could see it because he was in it. So part of me has kind of been thinking about, well, what if a new listener just, hey, what's this Pro U podcast? Episode number 390-something. It's like, oh, yeah, this guy's doing really good. Okay, sounds like he's got some good advice, but based on what? And it was kind of that same premise in the movie. And this guy sat down with Julia Roberts' character and said, well, here's why I know what I know. And it was not a fun story. So a little while back, I shared Tom's story. It must have been, I would say before episode 50, I probably shared that story. So I kind of just do a recap of how I got here, how I gained my clarity, and how I became this version of myself. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. Enjoy. As we change, the things we look at change. I think that's pretty close to a Wayne Dyer quote, but it is something that I've experienced in the sense of I've done things, you know, recently that I've done hundreds of times and years ago. It's just way better now. Well, how can that be? Let's see, I got going to the beach. Going right now to the beach is the best. Well, yes, I have Zen, and yes, I'm doing some dope art, but it's all based on how I'm doing. If the space between my ears is controlled by me, I'm picking my thoughts, the thoughts that make me feel good. It doesn't matter what I'm doing or where I am. I'm having the best time because I'm the best version of myself. So there's this thought I had where, you know, it's like, you know, we're getting close to 400 episodes, which is pretty dope. Pretty excited about that. Big number. And Nico just popped into my head. I was like, 400 of them. And I'm like, you know, in my head, I was like, you know, and Nico helped you get there, you know. And so I just, yeah, just a quick little precursor shout out to my amazing Canadian assassin producer, Nico. But I was like, well, what if someone just, hey, what's this Pro You podcast, and just listened for the first time? You know, this one, 390, is it 6 or 7, 397, I think it's 397. But so I thought I should just kind of tell people, you know, because like they listen now, it's like this guy's going, oh, I got the best life, everything rocks, had a great year, it's a better year this year, did a fantastic art show, did a short film. It's like, dude, I really don't care. So I did an episode, and I wasn't even going to look for it, because I don't ever want to go back and listen to any version of myself at all. I will never go back and listen anymore. I just could tell in my voice everything I didn't like, and I would be like, ah! So I'm not going to attempt it. But there was at one point, I went Tom's story. I just kind of said, well, here's my deal. Here's I got here. So I was going to kind of recap that. But before, and this just happened, before I tell you Tom's story, the why hit me yesterday morning hard. Had a client cancel, and I've been trying to kind of just have this day where I don't do anything, and it would be a day, and I'd get up and it'd be in my head, and I just want to have one day where I don't do anything and I rest, and today's going to be the day, and I'm going to give myself permission. And all of a sudden it was 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, and I'd been doing stuff and felt better, had energy, and, you know, kind of went on through the day. So woke up and I had an early cancellation. I'm like, I'm going to watch a movie. I'm like, well, that's weird. I'm like, just, you know, it was like 7 in the morning. I walked, did my walk run with Zen. And so I'm flipping through Netflix, and I see Eat, Pray, Love. And it's a film with Julia Roberts, and there's James DeFranco is in it, and this other old guy that's in like a bunch of movies, but I just never remember his name. And I forgot to look. It just hit me, and I just went over and I wrote down a bunch of notes. I was pretty sure I had seen the movie before, and I just kind of wanted to be taken away. So I'm like, I'll press play. It starts. I'll totally remember it. Stop. pick another movie, you know what I mean? Or, oh, I like it, or whatever. I'm just going to, and it kind of started, and I was fast forwarding a little bit. But there were moments that I caught, and I'm like, wow, this is good. And I'm like, I just definitely knew, like, right away I was watching it. And like I said, just every once in a while, I would fast through, skim apart. And I'm like, you know, I know I saw this, but I don't remember it. So it was kind of that enjoyable thing. I've had that happen before with older movies. I know I've seen, but I'm watching it. I'm like, oh, my God, this is almost as good because I don't really remember what's happening. And then the older character, she runs into in India at this kind of meditation getaway camp school kind of thing. Because she had met this kind of guru dude, you know, before, a long time ago, like a year ago, and felt better and came back. And so now she's here for X amount of time, and she's got to, you know, go to meditation class. She's got to, you know, do certain work. And this older dude kind of notices her because they're, you know, both American. And I get this feeling like, oh, I don't think I like this character. I just had that, you know, I wasn't taking notes. I wasn't thinking about podcast or anything at all. I just had that little feeling where, oh, I think this is the character I didn't like. And the first two interactions with him and Julia, Julia was kind of like, yuck. So it was maybe kind of that or something that I was kind of remembering, because he was pretty outspoken. But he wouldn't say it like real specific things, but he would just say things. And then, you know, it was like Julia, you know, her character was like, you know, I'm not looking for this. You know, why are you talking to me, kind of a thing. So he's a bit abrupt. But all of a sudden, I just like fell in love with this dude. Because I understood exactly what he was saying. And at one point, he kind of just reaches out at her and he goes, yeah, I just got to go in there and just get that stuff out of your head. And it's just so you can see it. And I was like, oh, my God. Like when I'm talking to clients, that's sometimes how I feel. I go, why are you? I just want to reach in your brain and pull that out and go, stop thinking about that. And I was transfixed, because now I was like a fan. I was into the movie. I loved this dude. I was like, oh, my God, I got to write some of this stuff down. And at one point she's like, do you always speak in, like, bumper stickers? And he goes, yeah, here's another one for you. And he said something about, if you keep trying, you're never going to get it. Just let it be. And I was like, oh, my God, I just loved it. But then I was like, you know, I'm always talking in quotes. It's like, oh, dude, are you always talking in quotes? Like, I was completely resonating with this dude. But I did get how people are like, you know, or Julia's character or someone like that would be like, you know, you're weird. Don't tell me. I don't understand you. Get away from me. I don't see what you're talking about. And how abrasive, abrupt, rude, opinionated, outspoken he was. When he left, they walked the cab together and they both cried. Where was the bonding moment? And this is the complete, like, I've had this experience and I was reminded by this experience. And then, you know, lately I'm like, hey, I'm doing great. Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, I'm doing, like, I'm just, you know, like, that's my message now. And I'm like, why? Client said really poetically, he said, you know, your plan is out, you know, there it is, boom, your message done, now you're just executing it for yourself. And I'm like, well, well said. But I'm like, what if a Julia Roberts character type of person is listening, going, what are you talking about? Like, what, like, sit there, do nothing, be okay alone, and what, I mean, purple, yellow, kryptonite, what is all this stuff? Like, I don't get it. And then at one moment, I think they were like, they went somewhere and they were done. And she's like, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. He said, follow me. He called her groceries. First time he saw her in the movie. Pray, Love. You got to watch it if you haven't. But the first time he sees it in the movie, he goes, I've never seen someone eat so much like that. You're nicknamed for groceries. So the whole movie he's calling it groceries. You know groceries? And he said, follow me, groceries. And he just walked into this hallway. And, like, you know, I mean, didn't even wait for her. Like, she's like, no, I'm going home. I'm done. I'm tired. Duh. You know, because she was getting pretty beat up mentally, emotionally, you know, spiritually. You know, she was just struggling and she was trying. You know, it wasn't like she wasn't trying. And now, you know, she was trying to listen to this dude. And she just really wasn't, you know, getting it. And she was just tired. And I got that, too. I felt that, too. Like, dude, I just need a break from you and your bumper stickers. Groceries, follow me. And so she followed him. And she walks into this room and he's sitting down. I can't remember what the room was, what it looked like. He's just sitting down. So she goes over and she sits by him. And I'm going to lose it, so I'll just prep you on that. He just goes into the story. Because what she was struggling with was forgiving herself. You know, he said, you know, what are you trying to forgive, you know, your husband? She goes, no, I just want him to forgive me. He's like, that's not up to you. He goes, you gotta just forgive you. You gotta get out of your way. And that's what he was getting so frustrated with, because he could see all her good. And he could see her just rotting, wasting away, kind of by choice. And I could see his frustration. I could see why he's frustrated, because he just wanted to help her see in her what he saw in her. So it's like, this is where it's... And this is what I thought was just brilliant about the movie. It's like, well, why does this guy have any power? Why should I listen to you? How do you know? It's like, okay, well, I'll tell you why. And I didn't remember this at all. He goes, I was a bad person, bad version of myself. I was drinking, I was doing drugs. I was married and I had a family. And I couldn't see it. And he was stuck. It was just another day. And I was drinking and should have got a cab, and I didn't. And you just start feeling those, oh God, what did he do? He goes, but I got in my car and I drove home. Like, oh God, what did he do? And he's just struggling to tell this story. And, like, you know, Julie Roberts' character is feeling just like I am, because I don't remember the story. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like this dude that's walking around with complete clarity is going to now let her in on what that clarity involves. How he got that clarity. And why he knows what he's talking about. Because he's in it. Deep as shit. He goes, my 8-year-old son was playing in the driveway waiting for me to come home. And I just start losing it. I'm like, oh my God. You know, because you're cheering for this. You know, I was cheering for this guy. You know, not last time I watched the movie, but this time I just loved everything he was saying. I was like, oh, he gets it. He's trying to help me. This is beautiful. What a great dude. Wasn't doing it perfectly, just like me. You could tell he was flawed, just like me. But he had a message. And I'm like, you know, every dope person that I like or admire has gone through shit, you know, and made it through it. And that's why I like him. And he stops and he goes, he got out of the way. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. He goes, but I didn't see him. I pulled right in the driveway, got out, stumbled in the house, went to sleep. Woke up the next day. Family was gone. His wife had seen what had happened through the window. And that was the last straw. And Julia Roberts' character is just sitting there going, oh my God. And this was like the best line. And it's like, here is the truth. Julia Roberts' character said to him, so have you forgiven yourself? Like, kind of like, well, that was it, right? And that's the thing, you forgave yourself, and that's why you know what you know. And he just looked at her and he says, I'm working on it. And I just got crushed because I just felt it. I could never. I just know it. No way. And again, this is a movie, this is a character, but I just got sucked into it deep, and it was real, and I understood it. So it's like my life, and it was exactly what, you know, I kind of go through with people. I just want them to understand and wanting them to see it and wanting to cheerlead them. But there's a sense of urgency. You know, I'm a bit intense. And I'm like, well, so that guy. It's like, well, you just don't get forever to ponder and dabble. But the point was, he has all that clarity because he's doing it, because he's doing the work. He's in it. That's why he could say what he said. That's why he knew what he knew. That's why those bumper stickers were in his head, in the forefront of his mind. Why? Because that's what he was doing. That was his walk. That was his journey. That was his life. He was just sharing what he did. Just sharing how he got where he got. And he wasn't charging her. And he didn't want anything in return. And I told one client about it yesterday afternoon. And I just, like, the more I talked about it, the more I was affected by it. And I'm like, that's what I want to talk. I just knew it. And, you know, I just was like, it was just so, I don't know, like the tribute. Because I'm like, I know, I watched this movie before. And now I'm taking notes, I'm bawling, and I'm like, and it was just like this flawed, grumpy, outspoken, opinionated, know-it-all dude. In a way. I mean, because he wasn't polished. He wasn't well-kept, well-dressed. He wasn't fancy-looking. You know what he was? He was just the messenger. And I think that's the message. You can get through it, but it's not ever going to be easy. It's not ever going to be, oh, I'm perfect. Oh, it's all, the bad's gone. The work is on you. And there's the good. And if you're not, there's the bad. I got a text last night. From my friend in Tahoe, who I really tried to get on the phone since Christmas. And it's April. And last couple weeks, he's on my mind. I was like, you know what? Is he just like that busy? Is he just like, doesn't want to talk to him? You know, I was like, is it me? Or, you know, because there's very few people that I reach out to, text, call, chat with. Very, very, very few. It's a very, very short list, and Brian's on it. And it was later, and I'm like, who, you know, because I didn't have any clients. I was like, who is this? I'm like, Brian. I'm like, oh. And I actually texted him 2 days ago about a question about wood. Never heard back from him. Like, sometimes I don't even hear back from him. Hey, so we both know we want to get on the phone and catch up and figure it out whenever we can. But another very close friend is dying right now. And I'm like, well, wow, that was a twist, like the second half of the first line. A friend is dying right now. Next line, in all caps, right now. In Mexico, brain bleed, brain damage, 35 years old. Pretty sure you met him at our house. He was the guy that just married our friend. And I was like, I remember going, dude, are you at a wedding? I go, that looks amazing. That's so cool. Have a great time. And I'm like, this dude just got married. He's 35. And he's dying. And he goes, wonderful people. He's so smart. Like Pearson. Now, Pearson, Dave Pearson's a dude, friend of, mutual friend of Brian. And Brian's best friend. And he died paragliding. Like, I want to say, like maybe 6 years ago or so. Devastated, you know, Brian's world, you know, everybody around, because, you know, Dave was incredibly talented, gifted, successful, you know, giving. It's a wonderful dude. And gone. And married. You know, so it's, you know, Brian is getting hit again. We became fast friends. I'm incredibly bummed, to put it mildly. It just goes to show that we need to stay in touch with the people that we love and make sure that we have closure and that we're all good, so that when things like this happen, we don't have regrets. I've got a list of friends I need to call, and you're on it. I don't take that lightly, but I don't take the time to do that because I put work first. But when things like this happen, it makes you think perhaps we should make time for each other. I just wanted you to know that. And see, and that's why Brian's on that short list. He's always been a dude that has examined his life. You know, he's a son of a pastor, and he's always just been a great dude, but he has always evolved. Like, I've known that dude and been in touch with him longer than anyone that I have currently in my life. And it's like 17, 18 years we've been friends. So I replied, sorry to hear, bro. That sucks. My art is temporary. It is a reminder to celebrate the now. My time at the beach and being able to create. Then it's gone. I get to, is what I began to say after I lost my sister. The one thing loss teaches, reminds us, is to enjoy the now and that which you have. Personal growth is rarely simple, easy, or fun. Love you, bro. I'm here, holding you all in thoughts and prayers, sending love and light. He replied, exactly. Well said, and thanks, bro. So sad. And that's kind of my point. You know, the little bit of the urgency, the little bit of the frustration. You know, I was telling my stuff to you, what, are you bored? Shut up. Why are you thinking about that? And I was like, cool, that worked. And then I started kind of, you know, well, obviously with clients that are friends, kind of family, but going, shut up. Why are you talking about that? What does that got to do with anything? Kind of sound like the grumpy old dude in Eat, Pray, Love. So, there's two quotes, and one's kind of trippy. But it was the closest I've read to a quote that I've felt, but I don't like how it sounds. But I'm going to read it anyways. Crazy, I haven't posted this because, again, I don't like it all. Crazy how I shifted the focus to myself, and I'm attracting everything I wanted. Your mind is powerful. Learn how to use it to its fullest extent. I mean, when I read it, I'm like, wow, it all sounds good. What's wrong? It's like, well, I'm attracting everything I wanted. I didn't say I wanted the stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, deep down, but there wasn't a, oh, I really, really, really want to make a documentary is written down. I really, really want to be invited to an art show is written down. I really, really, really want to be, you know, well, those were thoughts and like my art in a store. But I did shift the focus onto me, and that whole vibrating higher, attracting things that vibrate higher was making sense. I mean, that was something I've mentioned quite a few times. But then the last, you know, line, your mind is powerful. Learn how to use it to its fullest extent. It's like, well, That's just what I'm talking about. I mean, if you think about A and it bums you out, don't. If you think about B and it makes you feel good, do. Like, ta-da, there it is, big secret. But way, way, way easier to state, harder to apply. Why? Because you got grooves, you know, habits, ways of thinking, social conditioning, you know, just all this stuff that stands in our way. I mean, you got here, maybe you're 40 or you're 50 or you're older than that, kind of doing one thing. And maybe it's time to turn around a little bit and stop, pause, reflect, and do it differently. And that's going to take a long time. And those grooves are deep. And you didn't really know that you were kind of keeping them dug, but you were. Now you got to stop digging them, start digging new ones, figure out which ones to dig that are new, and then start digging those and stop putting focus and attention on the old grooves and hoping slowly, surely that you let go of those old grooves and they diminish and the new ones take hold. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's a time thing. You got to do it. But that I'm attracting things. And this is the trippiest story I'll probably ever share. Oh, big drum roll. I didn't even write that down. So I'm looking, you know, at my life and I'm like, you know, everything's good and I'm thankful. And then this year, you know, it got better and just noticing, right? All the good. And you know, one thing that was just driving me kind of nuts was car insurance. I mean, I was paying over $1,100 every 6 months. And that finally kind of all got figured out and adjusted. And last time I think it was 5:30 or something like that. I'm like, cool. And maybe I move out of LA and it goes down. So I'm like, my car for a while had some dings. The bumper had a cut in it. And it was like all done. Like it, like no big marks, no big dings, no scratches. Just like, so like these little things that were just, you know, if my life, you know, so I kind of was like, you know, like there's no real anything. And then it was the podcast. I was just like, I just pressed record and I just read a text saying, oh yeah, you got a dentist tomorrow. So here's the backstory on the dentist. I had put it off for over a year now because one of my clients is like, yeah, I just got to get a cleaning. I'm not going to go in, you know, COVID and all that. I'm like, yeah, who needs to go to the dentist for a cleaning? Well, mine are deep clean and I have to go in every 3 months. And when I asked the woman at one point, the technician, the specialist, how long will I have to do this every 3 month thing, getting this cleaning? She's like, the rest of your life. And I was like, wow. And it was, kind of uncomfortable, but hated going to the dentist, all bad memories feeling were at the dentist, you know what I mean? The root canals, the break in my nose, just everything, the money, but it's gotten better. And I remember, I think the last time it was like, not a big deal, went there, driving home, it was pretty painless. But it was like, okay, now I don't really feel that comfortable going there anyways. And now there's like no windows. There's no air flowing. Then there's a bunch of people in there. And I'm like, then they're like, you know, 4 inches from my mouth. Why don't, it's just like, why would I go? You know, it's like, ugh. So it's like, you know, and she's not there all the time. It's like, okay, she won't be back. I'm like, okay, perfect. Make it, you know. You know, whatever it was, the next month, make it okay, not till the fall, okay. And then it was also just like, she's gone January, February, March, she's not back till April. I was like, all right, make it April. But then as April was rolling around, I was like, oh my god, I haven't gone it. I'm like, and there's just this the old Tom, you know, what if it's bad? You know, what if they're like, oh my god, look how bad you're, oh my god, what did you, you know, like I'm gonna get punished, you know, I'm gonna get in trouble, kind of a thing. And it's weird, but it's a groove and it's there. So it's the day before, and I call up, and I go, I got a client. I do. I actually have a client at 9, and my appointment's at 9:30, and I don't want to bother my client. I'll just change it. And so I call up, and I'm on the phone for a while, and it's going to be like in another month, and it's always going to be on a Tuesday or Thursday because that's when she's at the office and this and that. And I'm like, just go. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I called my client, and he's like, yeah, I'll go 8 to 9. So I didn't really think about it that much the night before. And a couple of times it kind of popped and I was just kind of like, God, it's like a little angry. Like, shut up. You know, it's like, that's the dumbest thing to think about. Like, I hate you, dentist, but I'm going to be angry and not nervous. kind of a weird thing, but it was kind of happening. But the next morning, it was kind of hitting me a little bit. Oh, going to the dentist, what's going to happen? What are they going to say? You know, da 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 da. But it's like 9:30. So I was up, whizzing, boom, trained the client, boom, in the car. And I left like 10 after 9. And I think it normally would take like half an hour to get there. It only took 20 minutes. I was like right on time. And I'm always on time when I go there because I always want to get it done. And I get in and I sit down. And she's like, any problems with your teeth? Nope. Doesn't mention the year I've been gone. Doesn't say anything at all. So I'm like, I'm not bringing it up. And I know her pretty well, you know. And, you know, so she knows fully well I am. I know she has my charts. And, you know, she obviously, you know, knows the last time I was been in. And she goes through. And she, the first thing she does is kind of goes through these numbers. You know, she's looking at all of my teeth and checking how far the gums have receded. So she's, you know, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3 teeth, 2, 2, 2, 4, 4, 4. Every once in a while, there's a 5. Every once in a while, there's a 6. So she's going through it. I'm like, I'm hearing less 6s. I really am. And I think at one point, there was a 7 one time, which is, you know, even, obviously worse. And there's just, and she went through it. And then she's like, okay, we're going to start cleaning. And then she started doing the cleaning when they had this thing that came down that looked like a Flojo, that hair cutting product, you know, where you float that thing above your head and it sucks your hair up and then it trims it. But this was for the COVID thing. So they brought this thing down. It was kind of making a noise, but it's supposed to, you know, clean the particles in the air or suck up your breath or whatever. So that was there. And she was a little bit more water. So I took one break at one point, just stopped because I just kind of felt like I was swallowing water and I got to kind of focus on, you know, breathing through my nose the whole time. And then it was done. And she goes, have you seen my mother, you know, like for a regular checkup in a while? And I said, no. And she said, well, make an appointment in a couple of weeks and I'll see you then. She's like, okay, bye. So I go to the front desk and she makes me an appointment for 2 weeks to go in just to like get the cavity check. And then she says, okay, for the specialist, she goes, 6 months, that's, you want to go? And I was like, don't say anything. And I get in my car and this was the biggest kicker in the world to me. The dentist got better. I'm like, I didn't go for a year, over a year. And I'm pretty sure my teeth are not as bad and maybe a smidge better. Why? Because of the numbers she was rattling off. There were less sixes. I know that. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, and she didn't make a mistake. I've been going there for a long time. Like, oh, I meant to do 3 months and I said 6. So she put us, I'm like, I can do it twice a year now instead of 4 times. I was like, I sat in my car. I'm like, one of those things, like, I would have never prayed because I asked her when, you know, how long will I have to do this at one point? She immediately said forever. Like, okay, you know, every 3 months, 4 times a year, I got to go to the dentist. And I hate going to the dentist. I better get used to it, kind of was my thought process. And I'm like, that's better now. Like, and then I got home and it was 10:30. I'm like, I left at 10 after 9, got there at 9:30, you know, waited however long, got in, got the thing done, and then drove all the way home. And I was like, I don't got to do that. Well, I mean, I got to go for the little checkup thing in 2 weeks, but I mean, I don't have to do that thing for 6 months. Because it was one of those things about moving and kind of being close, because I got a great car, dude. You know, the dentist, you know, knows me, all my stuff, you know, I got a great thing there. You know, so those are the things where, well, if I had to come back, I'd just rather not be that far away. And I'm like, well, it's much better to go, look, I got to drive to LA to the dentist twice a year versus 4 times a year. But there was this, I'm like, and that's when I it was right after that, say, oh, I'm getting everything that I want. I'm attracting everything I want. Like, everything that's uncomfortable is leaving because I'm one. And I was like, well, I can't really say that, but I'm not kidding you. Like, I was, like, adamant about, look, I didn't have a bucket list, but these 3 things probably would have been on it if I had it. But I would have never hoped, wished, prayed, going, okay, look, I just really need it to be cut in half. Go from 4 times a year to 2. And just make it quicker and quicker every time I'm there. And so I know that it was kind of like I didn't go to the dentist for 10 years and I kind of laxed on my teeth. So I'm like, they're good. They've been good all my life. And then it was hell for 2 or 3 years. And I'm like, okay. So diligently, you know, brushing my teeth twice a day, flossing once a day, using the mouthwash twice a day, you know, and I've been doing that. And there's times where I'm like, oh, I should do it three, or, you know, so I was kind of worried if I was doing it enough. And I wasn't going to bring up, oh, hey, by the way, I haven't been here a year, because I'm like, look, I'm not bringing up anything. I'm not, I didn't want to jinx it. Oh, that's right. Oh, let me look closer or something. But it was just ridiculous how I walked out, and it was just this, like, a bell, ding, ding, ringing in my head going, that's better. That's less abrasive. That's less intrusive. That's less painful. That's less time and energy that you have to put in going there. And it was like, but what I'm doing is getting better. You know, it would kill me that no person there ever said, hey, you know, get this gingivitis kind of anti whatever specific mouthwash and make sure you get that kind of toothpaste and then just freaking do it. And I've been cleaning my teeth like I'm cleaning a car now. Like, I don't want to go back. I don't want to spend money. I'm going to clean these bastards. But I still think at times I should be doing it more. But it was that, like, okay, you're doing a great job. Like, you haven't been here in a year and your teeth are, I mean, she didn't say it, but she didn't say they were worse. She didn't say come back every 3 months. She said come back in 6 months. And I was like, winner, winner, winner. I'm done. So I get home and I had the thought that morning about going to the beach because I had nothing after the dentist. And I'm like, well, I actually have a client like at 5, but I can do my beach thing and have a client at 5. I've worked that out. I couldn't even remember now. Yes, because it was a Monday. My 5 o'clock on Monday switched to that Tuesday when I had that. So I'm like, but I came home and I was in such a good mood. Like, I'm like, if there was anything negative or uncomfortable in my life, it was the dentist, and that just got better. Like, am I willing that to happen? Like, is what I'm doing, like, really, like, you know, bringing in more good and kicking out the bad? But it, like, literally was like, that's the only thing I could think of. And so I went to the beach. And it was like this magical day that I often have, but it was just perfect. And it was quiet. And I had like two and a half hours. And it's plenty. You know, it's like an hour 15, you know, maybe an hour 20, there and back. Sometimes back, it's an hour and a half. But the time I'm there is just magic. And I think it was that particular trip where it was, I don't think once I said, Zen, do you want water? And the rest of the time, I didn't talk to him at all. And it's not like we're ignoring each other. We just don't have to talk. Like, when I walk down the beach, he follows. You know, if I get ready to go, he follows. You know what I mean? It's like we don't have to communicate. I just notice that. And I'm like, I just think that's the coolest thing in the world. Hang out with a dog, no leash, no collar, and you can communicate without talking. Like, he knows when to leave, when to follow. He can do whatever he wants in the meantime. And that day was just this super, super dope day to me. Like, I was like, and it wasn't that, oh, I should call people. Hey, I went to the dentist this morning, went great. Then I went to the beach. I was like, dude, who cares? Like, what are you? But it was a very poignant day. And I'm like, you know, it was kind of like just, okay, real, Tom keeps it simple. I'm going to do and keep doing exactly what I'm doing. And I had mentioned, you know, the beach. My brain got a little funky after the art show. This was the other quote that I read before, but I wanted to hit it again because this is what I came to 2 days ago. I woke up this yesterday morning, watched that movie, and spent the whole day kind of chilling. And then I had that client and I shared the eat, pray, love story. You know, it was kind of good to verbalize it, but I also realized how much it really had impacted me. But then I'm like, I just gotta, you know, I was telling this client, it's like, you know, I just gotta stop my brain right now. It was like, you know, go, do, yay, art stuff, and then it stopped. And part of my body's got this restlessness going, hey, we should be doing something. We should be getting ready. We should be going. We should be. And I'm like, what is that? And then there's also the noise now of the moving. Where are you going to move? When are you going to move? I'm not really, you know, I have no idea. Like, it was easy to find apartments for rent online. And I've tried 4 or 5 different things. And, you know, it's not like I'm like going nuts with it, but I'm like, oh, okay, let me just try apartments for rent in Ohio. Let me just try this. I can't even pull up anything. And the trip to that lake was pretty dismal. So there's not like this, hey, fire up, feel good kind of thing. So there's like this restlessness, and there's like, why are you moving? It's like, look around the house going, hey, you got a lot of stuff to do if you're moving. And it was like, okay, you know what I don't like is all of that stuff. And I'm like, how did all that get in here? Everything was, and again, my bad is relative. You know, there's a slight ripple in the Zen pond. I notice it. Why? Because there's not any ripples in the Zen pond anymore. And I've created that and I maintain that to my best ability. But it was like, what is that? You know, what is going on? And I was like, okay, you were busy. Yeah, a lot. Now there's like this shutdown. So the inside, this internal thing is kind of like, well, things were going good. You were doing stuff. We should probably keep that going. I mean, a long time ago, you kept busy and you were doing stuff. And I was like, okay, stop. Stop, stop, stop. And here's the quote. As long as you are trying to become, trying to get somewhere, trying to attain something, you are quite literally moving away from the truth itself. And I was like, you know, that's what I was finding the entire time Zen was hurt and my life slowed down. I said breadcrumbs, but it was the truth. I was finding out truths about my life. And they were true. So I didn't like, well, do I want to believe it? It's like, no, they're true. The breadcrumbs were real. And I'm like, and that's what I did the rest of the day. I laid next to Zen. And he got up, like, let's go for a walk. I'm like, okay. Went for a walk, came back home. We laid down again. Want to play with toy? Okay, play with toy. And it was as simple as that. Focusing on Zen, which I've done a million times before. But that whole, you need to, like, stop everything. Because it was like, hey, remember that little buzz, that little hum, that thing we used to do for 30, 40 years? Well, that's back a little bit. But, hey, it's because of this good stuff going on. And hey, you know, now you're moving, so hey. And I'm like, well, no. I don't like that noise. It's like, yeah, but, you know, all your clients, I mean, like, the world's kind of picking up, getting back to normal. People are doing stuff, working, getting back to work. I had 3 cancellations this week. Dudes working. I'm like, yep, people going back to work. I get more cancellations, though. People out of town, people traveling. And I'm like, well, there you go, Tom. I mean, this is not a negative statement. But it's like, here are a group of people that are trying to become, trying to get somewhere, trying to attain something. But you are trying to discover the truth. So as everybody gets busy again, traffic picks up, gas got more expensive, more people at the beach, you're going to slow down again. Why? Because I'm fucking worth it. You know, like it was a trippy thing. But I knew almost immediately what I was feeling, what I didn't like, and what I needed to do. And last night I was just chill. Like this big voice was in some head going, dude, you don't have to move. You don't have to go anywhere. Your life is dope. The dentist just got better. Look at your dog. Walk him outside right now. No leash, no collar. No one bothers you in the neighborhood. You know everybody. Love a bunch of dogs in the neighborhood. Come home. Car's perfect. Walk through the courtyard. Zen stays down on the bottom floor and I walk up. He walks around and smells, takes his time. And I made this little video of him walking up and just sitting down. And I was just like how dope is that? Like, that's, he's not even a normal dog. Just chilling, hanging out, walking around, goes where he wants. But everywhere he can, and you know, can go and allowed to, and gets upstairs and lays on his bank. So, I mean, he's, you know, from the outside appearance, he's behaving like a dog would. We come in, you come upstairs, you lay down. Yeah, but he's doing it at his own pace. He knows he'll go upstairs when he's ready. He knows where to lay down when he gets upstairs. I'm already in the apartment. I'm already in the Zen garden. Like, he'll come up when he wants to. And once I looked out over the railing and I saw him, and a tenant was out there looking like, why is this dog down here by himself? And I just love it. I was like, well, there it is. That's how easy it is for me to find the truth, how quickly I can find the truth. But it's blocking out all that stuff. Like, I don't have the income to secure my future. I don't have savings to secure retirement. I don't have a real plan for nothing to secure anything. But when I stay present, I'm invincible. And by that I mean, you know, the most stuff that doesn't matter. So why listen to me? I got all these bumper sticker quotes. How do you know? So if you're new, or if you haven't heard, that's how I got here. I was the eldest son of a meticulous, perfectionist German Catholic father who had me at a very young age, who didn't have a very good father. So right away I became his assistant with work, whether it was in the garage, the yard, the car. I was his designated helper, and I enjoyed it because I got to be with him. But it was never fun, and it was always stressful. And I typically got in trouble, yelled at for something. So my fear began I wet the bed until I was 12, and you can imagine what that was from. Looking back, I realized I was probably afraid my entire life all the way through high school. Because the way I looked, certain people didn't like me. And it was the craziest thing to go, like, I'm going to school and there's people that don't like me, want to fight me. You know, started, you know, messing with my truck because of how I looked. You know, I didn't say a whole lot, and that came off, when you look like I did, as arrogant or something. And I kind of was, you know, a loner, kept to myself in a way, because I was like not comfortable at home. And then I got to school and I was like, people just, you know, like not liking me. And if I did go somewhere, there was some dude who didn't like how I looked, or some girl that looked at me and then her boyfriend didn't like me. So it was just like this constant kind of yuck. And then I joined martial arts and I began to uncover a better Tom. And there's three moments that I always share about my father. Told him I was going to join karate at 18 out of high school that summer. He says, well, if you got that much extra time, why don't you get another job? 2 months later, I'm already excelling, like flying through karate. People know, like, this dude gets it. Like, I jumped, went to a tournament, competed as an orange belt. First time, I was in karate 2 months, went to a tournament. First place fighting, second place forms. I come home with these big-ass trophies, set them on the table, and I'm like, okay, here. This is why I joined. Now you can be proud of me. You know, who's brought trophies into the house? I mean, these, you know, first, second place, ta-da! Verbatim, my father says, how much did those cost? Then fast forward, I'm 34, moving to L.A., to become an actor. He says, when are you going to get a real job? Well, then actually there's a fourth moment. I believe I was 40. I think that's what it was. And I went home to surprise him. And he was struggling because he had recently retired. And I figured it would be a good time to go home, surprise him for Father's Day. You know, me and my two younger brothers would be there. And a couple little things happened where my little brother had to leave. And then my brother asked a question. And for some reason, that combination set my father off. And we were kind of talking pretty cool that day. So I followed him in the house, and he stormed downstairs. And I was like, what's up? And I just like, this is like, I didn't know what, I couldn't tell what was wrong. Like, it's like, like, I knew he was pissed, but I was like, what, you know, what, like, what happened? And I got downstairs, and within 30 seconds, he had curled up a fist like he was going to hit me. And I was like, oh, do. Please do that. And the other part is what I said. I said, really? Yeah, I didn't flinch. I didn't move. I'm like, you're going to hit me? Like, it'd be the biggest mistake of your life. And he goes, yeah. I'm like, 40, it's your son. You're going to, like that, all that. I was like, you're going to hit me, really? And I left, went upstairs, packed my shit. I was there for 4 days, and I, you know, I left, went to my brother's and stayed there for the next three, and then flew home. So that's kind of my groove. Because it's kind of like that abused girl in a relationship. You just keep going back, trying to get water from that rock. And then when that wasn't working, I would find a girl. And she would cheat. And I'm like, well, I should probably work harder as your boyfriend. That was my mentality. Now, I did fairly well at karate. I moved to Vegas. I moved to California. I lived in Japan. I've done a bunch of cool, dope things. But the entire time, I think I was pretty much that kid in high school. Because no matter how well I did, that fear or making mistakes and being judged and being critiqued by the people that were close to me, that was nonstop. And there was no, go to the family to feel good because they were always critiquing me. And I get a random phone call from someone in my family going, you know what you're not doing? I'm like, I don't even live there anymore. I'm like, what? And then got married. And then that woman, it was horrible. Lost her sister in a month and then cheated on me. So it's just chaos that I was going through. And then you fast forward and I get married the second time and she cheats on me. I don't know it. Cheats on me three times. I end up moving out of LA to the city of Orange where she was from so she could date her high school friend. And I knew nothing about it. And during that time, I decided to go to AA. Now, up until then, my one little thing that I was willing to do was ask for help. I'd gone to two different therapists. I'd gone to a psychiatrist. I'd gone on medication. I had self-medicated. I had gone to church. I'd gone to pastors. I'd gone to men's group. Everything to get help. I was not afraid of asking for help at all. And my second therapist, which I always enjoy saying, said, you should go to AA. And I'm like, I drank, but I didn't like have a drinking problem. And she says, it's the best free therapy there is. There's 12-step programs, a bunch of different ones, but AA is the most successful. And I was like, it's successful, it's free, I'm going. And, I look back, and that's a big, gnarly thing to do because I was in a bad place mentally, emotionally, spiritually, just every which way. And I know people that are probably just struggling with alcohol and won't go to AA, like afraid of the stigma. And when you get there, I mean, it is the rule. I'm Tom, I'm an alcoholic. And I'm like, I don't care. And I talked to a couple dudes in there, and they're like, look, just say that. If you're not sure, if you're not, it's fine to come. Like, they had no problem. If you're going to go, look, I'm Tom, and I'm not an alcoholic or whatever, it's like, well, then you can't be here. People don't want, if you say you're an alcoholic, people don't care at all that you're there. But it taught me a bunch of things and, started the podcast. And I was like, I learned, I was baptized Catholic, raised Catholic, went to a Catholic grade school in Vegas. I was baptized Christian and, did that and moved to L.A. And one of the first things, or moved back to L.A. after the second divorce, one of the first things I did was, get involved with a big church and started, volunteering and serving and, I helped, they moved and were remodeling this big church, and I helped do that. And I was going to these groups and men's, I was just everything. And AA was the best learning, growing experience of my life. And it was freaking gnarly and hardcore, like serious. Like, watch the movie Flight with Denzel Washington if you want to understand alcoholics, AA. But, again, I wasn't an alcoholic. I was not like all these people, but I was very similar in, like, I don't like what's in my head. I can't control it. And, yeah, I'll smoke weed. I'll drink beer. But, it wasn't like a big problem where these people would drink and they would just not stop drinking until they, got into trouble or an accident. But the first couple things I learned was that for an hour and a half, I heard people's stories that were way worse than mine. So I walked out feeling better. For an hour and a half, my brain was completely shut down of my normal thought process and was filled for that hour and a half. So I got a break. And then, do you do anything? little things done consistently. Every time I went, you know, meet someone, get to know someone better, you know, start, you know, whatever it was, it just got easier, but it was always hardcore. 8 months I went 3 times a week. And like I said, at the very end, it was finding out from my ex's best friend, and she's like, and you can't tell her, but she's cheating on you. So I found out my ex was cheating on me. Couldn't bring it up. And that's while I was still in AA. And I'm like, I went to AA and I go, I gotta move. My ex asked me to move out. I know she's cheating. I can't say anything. I was like, the last meeting I went to, I shared all that. And I looked at one apartment and I got that apartment. It's an apartment that I sit in right now that I dubbed the Zen Garden. And the first night, I realized two things. What was gone, the bad, her, and the new challenge, the new demon, was the quiet. I was with her almost 14 years, married almost 12. You know, had a stepdaughter, and her mother, friend, and daughter were always around. So like me and 4 or 5 women, 90% of the time. So to go from that many people to zero, was the silence was deafening. But it was trippy because I'm like, okay, I'll take that over that. Like she just, you know, I did the stress I felt from that woman. I was free. And that night I didn't ask for anything. I didn't pray one time and ask for anything. I said I was thankful. And that started the whole thing. Is I just remembered it. Like every day I'm like, all right, I got a roof, okay. You know, because I was getting clients and I was making money, and I'd come home, lay on the couch and get up and go train clients and make money and come home, lay on the couch. I mean, I was doing nothing else but training people, making money. And just sitting in this kind of sad, lonely apartment. But I knew that's how you healed. It was going to be time. And I could go out, chase girls, party, run around, do whatever I wanted, but that wasn't going to speed it up. And somehow I knew it. And it was about a year and a half, I read this quote, and it says, you know, loss, which can be death, which could be divorce, takes like 3 to 5 years for people to get through. And it was like a year and a half. And I go, dude, I'm already doing good. And I remember kind of firing up, going, that's dope. Like, I'm ahead of schedule. And I'm like, I got here being thankful and mindful. I should start my podcast because I thought about it in the past. And it was a Friday. It was Thursday, Thanksgiving, and I got through it. Didn't talk to anybody about Thanksgiving. Didn't eat food. Didn't gather. I trained Hardwick. We had this great workout. I talked to a girl that night and kind of helped her through some drama. And I was like, that was a great day. It was a great Thursday. It wasn't a Thanksgiving to me. I'm thankful every day. Like, I'm thankful all the time. I don't need a day, a table with food to be thankful one day a year. I'm like the most appreciative, grateful, thankful dude I know. And I woke up the next morning and go, I'm going to start a podcast. Monday, I trained Hardwick. 3 days later, and I asked him, want to do a podcast? He said, okay. Started out with a dude I knew, kind of just like a fitness, wellness kind of podcast that ended. And I was, you know, I knew some people through acting and through training, some trainers and some actors, and, you know, kind of brought some people in that I knew, and we would be referred some. And all of a sudden, I was getting harder and harder. And I hate asking for help. I hate asking people for anything. So be like, hey, will you be on my podcast? And I got to follow up and I got to chase them down. And people be like, yeah. And then they wouldn't return. I just hated trying to get guests. And I'm like, oh, the one thing, well, the one of many things I learned in AA is that you get to share. Like, that's what you do. Stand up. Hey, Tom, I'm an alcoholic. And you share. No one said, oh, that's not true. I don't believe you. They can get up and leave. You know, they don't have to listen, but they don't get an opinion if you're sharing. You get to share your experience. And I'm like, well, I could do that. I could just share my experience. It'd be way easier for me. Got up, did this, felt this, thought this. And that's how it started. And a client. A listener said, oh, it's Tom Solo Pods. I was like, hey, I like that. But then I was like, well, you know, walk the earth, have experiences, then share those experiences. Basically, I kind of did my entire life. And it seemed like the podcast was like, now it's supposed to be what it's supposed to be. Like, okay, it happened. That's exactly what it was supposed to get to. Where me going, okay, here's how I got here. And I'm still working on it like the dude in Eat, Pray, Love. I am in it. And I've been sharing that story for 6 years. You know, come to my well by the water I sell. That's Julie Roberts showing up in that dude's world and him going, look, this is what I'm going to share. And she's like, why should I listen to you? What have you been through? And not that her character said that, but he's like, okay, obviously you need to hear the why. So there's my why. I have never stopped working on me. And I've never given up on me. And I do not have a clear, decisive reason for that. I did not have a grand image. I did not have a wonderful design. I didn't have this incredible faith. I didn't have this unbelievable belief in myself. It just kind of sucked. And I'm like, it's got to be better. Because like the parent thing was bad. The sibling thing was bad. The spouse thing was bad. The money thing was bad. The fear was bad. The stress was bad. And at 48... I moved here, and on paper, it like freaked me out. Married, divorced twice, no career, no real, you know, big money job, living alone. It was like, wow. Like, I felt pretty good, you know, at times in my life going, all right, I'm headed the right way. It's going to get better at 20, better at 30, and at 40, you know, to fit, you know, you obviously just would get better, right? And I was like, wow. That, to me, was harder to swallow than going to AA. Going to AA, to me, was not hard at all. I mean, it wasn't fun, but making the decision to go was not hard at all. And like I said, I went through probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago, saying, you know, I got less now than I've ever had, and I'm the best I've ever been. And I was starting to realize that's had tremendous value. You know, come to my well by the water I sell. I got some water to sell, and I'm selling it for free, and it has value. And you know what? I have value. And then 2020 was when I turned 55, which was my best year, which is kind of crazy because, you know, the pandemic and all was a huge thing. You mentioned 2020 to anybody 5 years from now, 10 years from now, they're going to tell you, oh, that was horrible. And I got a tattoo that says differently. And I was content and peaceful. In January, I rolled around 2021. And like I said, three things that I probably would have had on a bucket list if I ever had a bucket list. But I walk the earth thankful and need not, don't want anything, not pursuing anything. Three things just showed up before March, before my 56th birthday. And I stated it before. That client said, you know, your message is out there. A verbal documented journey. Now you're just executing it. It's like that guy. Like he could have kept to himself the whole movie. You know, he didn't have to go up to her. He didn't have to keep knocking on the door. He didn't have to keep trying to get her to understand. But he could see what she couldn't. He could see in her what she couldn't see in herself. And if you're that person, you need to tell them. So I'm here if you want to chat. I'm here if you think there's an opportunity for you to feel better, do better, be better. And maybe you're just kind of pondering that whole demon yourself worthy. Like, what does that really mean? Just reaching out, just asking. That's step one. That's the hardest. Like I said, I know people that were like, I'm not going to AA. I'm like, wow, just check it. Like, check it out. Like, you don't, just go once. Like, you don't, there's no, they're going to handcuff you and lock you away when you get there. Like, just afraid. So reaching out and asking help is uncomfortable. It's not fun, but it's step one. Looking forward to step two. Okay, let me get step one out of the way. Then I can get to step two, three, and four and start Finding the Truth. There's the title. I believe I really am finding the truth. You know, it doesn't make me more popular, doesn't get me more likes, doesn't make me more money. Doesn't, you know, it doesn't give me anything. But what it does, it allows me to be the best me. And I am worth that. And you are worth it. Stoked you're here. Proud of you. I really mean that. If you are listening to me right now, about to join in this pro you moment, I am proud of you. Let's begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, eyes closed. Neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. We're going to draw the inhale through the nose. Allow the exhale out the mouth. To fully experience each breath, we'll elongate it. We'll slow it down. We'll be in control of our breath. Doing all that, I'll occupy the space between your ears. If anything else enters, kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. it is. Bravo. Well done. Still proud of you. And if you could be filled with pride with yourself, as I am with you, imagine how good you'd feel. And that's really what I was in search for. Not specifically feeling good, just feeling better. Was there a way to feel better? Somehow, some way, I held on to that belief and kept fighting and didn't quit. And it was never a straight line. But looking back, it all kind of makes sense. I have a positive perspective of my past because of who I am today. I have very, very few regrets. I have nothing I need to do, nothing I need to say to anyone. A place of contentment is where I reside. Come to my well. That's the water that I'm gonna sell. Because it's that staying in that place, executing that pro-you plan. It's like I'm, you know, in the parade, on a wagon, throwing flowers out. Going, this is where I am. This is where you can be. I'm just going to keep sharing. Because the things that are happening along my path are happening along my path and weren't before. I hope, I pray, I wish that you are finding your way, finding your pro you way. Peace and God bless.